It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it is another edition of the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. Hi there, Daniel.
Hello, Mark.
Good to see you once again. Hey, this week, kind of a refresher course on something you've talked about before. That's the purpose and process of marriage. You're listening to some of your older shows, and you thought you could do it better. So we're gonna freshen things up a bit.
You can never say enough about it, and you can never. Well, I talk to people about this all the time, and you could literally talk hours and hours and hours on each one of these. So, crunching it into a radio segment like this is kind of tough. So, yeah, I did listen to previous shows that I've done. It's always a little bit different, and I think that
you probably learned a few things since you did. How long have you been doing this show now? Three, 4 years, 5 years?
Well,
on KCIS anyway?
On KCIS, I think at least 5 years.
At least 5 years. Yeah. Okay. Wow, time flies.
Yeah. There was the other show for
the other station, the other show.
Yeah, so there's probably about 8 years of podcasts at the BibleBasedCounselor.com.
BibleBasedCounselor.com.
So purpose of marriage, and I often say to couples that come in for marriage counseling that if we don't have our purpose correct, then the process that we're trying to fix is we're going to have a lot of difficulty because if people are working at cross purposes, you cannot agree on the process, which is typically what people are trying to solve in the marriage counseling. So there's this architect's axiom, form follows function, and it's applicable to marriage. Form follows function. So we're going to talk first of all about the form of marriage. What is the form of marriage? So we go immediately to Genesis 1, and it talks about the creation of Adam and Eve. And it says that God created the human. I'm reading the literal from the Torah, by the way. I'm not reading from the Torah, but I'm taking the literal from the Torah, mm-hmm. where it says, God created the human in his image. He created it in the image of God. He created them male and female. That's the form, and so the form of marriage, God creating male and female. So, you know, the question sometimes comes up, is God male or female? And I think probably the simplest way that I look at this is that creation is an unfolding of God's nature. So, it's like light shining into a prism where it's refracted on one side of the prism and we see it displayed in various colors, but on the other side of the prism, there's not a lot of information. That's kind of like how we see God's creation. It's an unfolding of his nature, and we can see things about God and know things about God here, but if we add all that together, it doesn't equal God on the other side. Mm. So male and female here tells us something about God's nature. He's neither of those because he doesn't even have a body. But in a sense, it requires male and female. If we use that prism analogy, it requires male and female on this side of the prism to bring about some kind of a reality. And I think that so if we talk about the function, because form follows function, or form follows function, say for example, a building is created in such a way that it facilitates a certain function. You know, like restaurants have lots of windows, and warehouses don't. They're constructed differently, but they have different purposes. So we look at the way that marriage was created. Man was created, male and female. And we say that's the form. And so it was that way because of its function. And so what is the function? So we talk a little bit about the function. And I think the function of marriage is to facilitate a dynamic, a certain dynamic. And you see this dynamic in the process between husband and wife in marriage. Kind of like an iron sharpening iron sometimes, or the working out of the process and trying to come to some kind of agreement and come to oneness. There's an evolution, if you'll excuse the term, in that marriage that's going on. And it's to facilitate this dynamic that's meant to bring about, I believe, a kind of intimate harmony that reflects the nature of God, the Godhead, his nature. I think of creation as an unfolding of God's nature, and God's ultimate purpose with his people is to bring about a people that reflects his nature. Mm-hmm. But it's a function. Yeah. Reflecting God's nature is functional. It's not just a showpiece. It's not just something to look at. And as a lot of people say, marriage is a picture of Christ in the church. It's not just a showpiece. Remember the axiom, form follows function. So the reason that God created male and female is because there's a specific function. And that function, I believe, has to do with serving in the body of Christ and to the end of God's eternal purpose. So it's much larger than just getting married demonstrating some kind of form or presence that's somewhat representative of Christ in the church. Mm. There's actually a function. And so man was created male and female, the human was created male and female to bring about this function. Now, in Ephesians 4, he talks a little bit more about this function, and Paul's talking about that we should, early on in the scripture, it's talked about being no more tossed about with every wind of doctrine, et cetera, and he says, but speaking the truth in love, and these are important words, grow up into him in all things. Grow up into him who in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So we often speak of Christ the head and the body of Christ, the head and the body. And Paul is saying here we are to grow up into him, which is the head, even Christ. So we're the body of Christ, and there's the head. Christ is the head, for whom all the body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies. Well, a joint is a union of two parts, and I'm not sure that Paul had this in mind about marriage, although in the next chapter he spends a lot of time talking about marriage. But it isn't a stretch at all to think in terms of when he says that which every joint supplies, that he's talking about the relationship but from one Christian to another. Mm. Those are pieces coming together. He says, according to the effectual work and the measure in every part. So if I'm a part and my wife is a part and together we're a joint or a union, and Scripture talks about one Christian to another, whether it be husband or wife, or whether it be two brothers in the Lord or two sisters in the Lord or brothers and sisters in the Lord, that there's a unity of the Spirit and there's a bond of peace. And that, of course, is God's work. That's the work of God bonding us together and bringing that unity. The unity of the Spirit, of course, is what it's called. Mm. So there are many joints in relationships, but the marriage relationship is very unique, because in the marriage relationship, God can work much deeper. And I think that this is almost like putting leaven in a loaf. The leaven spreads, and if I can use that analogy and say there's something within a marriage relationship, if it's a godly relationship, that it produces something that spreads in the body of Christ. It's like not every person in the body of Christ has to be married, but marriage provides something in the body of Christ that's very unique. And it can only do that, though, I'd say ideally it provides something in the body of Christ that's very unique. As a marriage counselor, however, I see a lot of marriages that are, you know, not functioning up to that level, be it because of the lack of, the resistance to humility, pride, ego. And so there's a process in marriage that we go through that's about the kind of the leveling dealing with these issues. Let me put it that way. Process that deals with these issues of humility and brings about, if you will, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance, etc. So,
where do children fit into this purpose of marriage? Because a lot of times, we think of, you know, that's how the body of Christ grows, is, you know, the nurture and admin, you know, raising up of children. We've heard the term, it takes a village to raise a child, but it really takes, first of all, I mean, in some ways, maybe that's kind of true because kids are, you know, see examples of good marriages and how to live by their parents and by people in the church.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we know that there's so much, you know, the thing of nature and nurture, there's so much that children learn from their parents by osmosis and parents trying to teach the children certain values and yet and having other values often, quite often, themselves having values other than the ones that they're trying to teach. So the children grow up, and I think the model, what God is after, is godly parents who are having a relationship that is one that lends itself to the working of the Holy Spirit, to the perfecting, the Scripture says, the perfecting of the saints. What we just read in Ephesians 4 about growing up into Him in all things. Mm-hmm. And so the children experience this, and I've often said to couples that I, when I'm doing marriage and family counseling, that children learn we pass on to our children the values we have, not the values we wish we had. Mm-hmm. And so you see children growing up, and now as we look at our society today and we see this slow slide, and sometimes it looks like a very quick slide, into just more immorality. And what I find is when I'm doing marriage counseling, even unfortunately with a lot of Christian couples, they don't have a lot of depth in the understanding of Scripture. They don't have a lot of depth in the understanding of marriage, and they're just kind of winging it. And by gosh and by golly, and the outcome is children who have very fragmented ideas of Scripture, of the purpose of life, of our relationship with God. And so then in turn, they pass these on to their children and gradually.
Well, yeah,
the
generations either get better or they get worse. I guess over time, it seems like everything does seem to kind of run down. But we're hoping that the Christian marriage anyway and the Christian church would be a place that would nurture and grow children to be godly.
Yeah, that's our hope. That's our hope for the church, gaining maturity. And I guess the good news, the silver lining, is that God uses the kind of the calamities of the world to get our attention, purify the saints, purify the stream, purify our concept of God's workings, and bring us to a greater understanding of just how and why His principles are what they are. You know, Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to purpose.
That is a great promise. Looking at the purpose of marriage, first half of the show today, we're going to take a break and switch over to the process of marriage in a moment. Daniel, you do a lot of marriage counseling, marriage and family counseling. People need help. Maybe they need to get a hold of you. How do they do that?
Yeah, my phone number is 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. Also, people can email me through the website BibleBasedCounselor.com, offices Kirkland and Edmonds.
Okay, back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast with Daniel Pryor in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor, counselor and life coach. Christian marriages are being attacked as never before, from outside and from within. Today more than ever before, you have to be proactive, learning to better be aware, to be more caring, and to be better communicators, recognizing and dealing with problems that are from within, from without, personal or relational. And that's where I can help you. Contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, Daniel is revisiting a subject, kind of a refresher course on the purpose and process of marriage. We looked at the purpose first half of the show. Today, now moving into the process of marriage. What do you mean by the process of marriage, Daniel?
And this is why people typically come to marriage counseling, is because, you know, things aren't going quite right. And It could be communication. Typically, it falls into one of three categories. It's an issue of trust, it's an issue of communication, or it's an issue of forgiveness. So one of the things that I've written on, done radio shows on, and talked to people a lot about is what I call the love triad, trust, forgiveness, and communion. And so basically the process of marriage is the dynamic between husband and wife, where hopefully we're coming to a deeper knowledge of, finding God in our marriage, finding God's purpose in our marriage, how we minister in the body of Christ, not just in the built sanctuary, but in the global body of Christ. What's our function how do we, bear fruit, as it were, in the kingdom of God? So the process is one of coming to unity, one of, dying to self, laying aside my life, my desires, my ambitions, my goals, to participate in something of a much greater value. We talked in the earlier part of the show about the purpose of marriage. Marriage designed to facilitate, uniquely designed to facilitate the kind of sacrificial giving that reflects the love of God to edify the body of Christ. So you see, when people get married, we're often quite selfish when we get married. Mm. And even the best of us, I think, get married for some selfish reasons, and all those things have to be worked out, and they evidence themselves as we go along in marriage. We try to assert our preferences over one another, or we try to make things fair. You know, I run into a lot of things with couples having to do with money, and I have married couples that have decided to divide their bank accounts so that each one has the same amount of discretionary money and then the budget, or he's got his job and his finances, she's got her job and her finances. And difficulty in marriage is just full of these kinds of me first, or at least I need to get my all of mine kinds of attitudes. Mm-hmm. And so the process is that of working this out and really coming to a place in marriage where we realize that our marriage does not belong to us. It belongs to God. It belongs to the body of Christ. It was designed for a certain purpose. And it's God's way of like pruning back our lives for his purpose. So things happen in marriage. Catastrophes happen. Bad luck, say, happens. And things happen that get our attention and hopefully get us to kind of focus in on what God might want out of our marriage rather than what we might want. In Ephesians 5, Paul talks about the great mystery. And I really think that this was the thing about the body of Christ. If you stop to think it through, it's amazing, really an act of God that Paul realized these things. So it was a true revelation. There wasn't anything in Scripture that I can see that to precedent or to suggest to Paul that the work of God on earth is something like a body. And that was a bit of a stretch, I think. So it had to me, it seemed to me to be something that God really revealed to Paul, and Paul really understood and addressed the body of Christ as though Christ is the head and we're the body. So in that, when he talks about that mystery in Ephesians, the mystery is that we are the bone and flesh of Christ. And I said, that's a great mystery. And it is a mystery, and it will remain a mystery, because the fact that we are to share, that we are the part of the body of God, the body of Christ, and that we're to share in his glory and share in his authority is beyond our comprehension. And so this, Paul said, is the great mystery. But it's not simply a metaphor, though. Marriage is not simply a metaphor or a type of this Christ in the church, but it's more of a fractal. And you know what a fractal is? A fractal is an exact repeat of a pattern, but it's also critical to the function. It's also functionally critical. So when you see fractals, like if you were to look at the way certain fabrics or cells are built in biology, and you were to like you they there are people that have done this, and you may have seen some of these on YouTube, where they'll take some sort of a phenomena in nature, and they'll zero in on it with a microscope, and they just get a repeat of that, and a repeat, and it gets smaller and smaller, mm-hmm. but it's an exact repeat of the pattern, mm-hmm. and it has to be an exact repeat because it has a function. It's not just a showpiece. It's not just artistic. And so marriage, yes, it does image Christ in the church, but it's not just a mantelpiece. It's not just a showpiece. It's a functional piece. This dynamic I'm talking about apparently required male and female. Now, the question has come up often in marriage counseling, you know, why are men in charge of women? And I have this one gal who asks these pointed questions. She puts it that way. Why are men in charge of women? So I was thinking about this. I understand why women have difficulty, quote unquote, submitting to men. But it's interesting. If I were to ask a gal, do you have trouble submitting to Christ? And she would say, no. Why is it different? Or if I'm talking to the husband and I say, you know, that you are supposed to lay your life aside, all of your wishes, wants, preferences, goals, you're to lay those aside and love your wife in such a way that you put her life first. Love her as Christ loved the church. He will have difficulty with that. But I would say, do you have difficulty with Christ loving you that way? No. Mm. I think the problem is that we don't quite see marriage as the fractal that it is. We see it as a kind of a resemblance or a metaphor, but we don't believe that it's supposed to act that way. When Paul says that wives submit yourselves to the husbands, husbands love your wives in such a way, he's saying, as Christ loved the church. What he's saying is, in order for us to function function as we were designed to function, we have to behave in a certain way. Otherwise, we don't fit into the God's purpose. We're going to be at odds. We're going to be on a path that doesn't coincide with what God is trying to do. It's not like a metaphor or a type. It's like a fractal. There's submission and there's the love of Christ. There's the husband loving. There's the wife submitting. If you boil those down like to the fundamentals or the behaviors, they look exactly the same. The husband is, and the scripture even says, we're to submit one to another. Somebody said to me, asked me, in your marriage, you know, how does this submission issue come up? And I was saying, it doesn't come up. I don't believe we've ever had that discussion about how my wife should submit to me. It just doesn't come up. And neither does it come up about how I'm supposed to love her as Christ in the church, because in a healthy relationship, you're just doing these things and they don't become issues any more mm-hmm. than submitting to Christ is an issue for me. I just know that that's the way for God's purpose is going to work. I don't understand it completely. But the reason that the laying down my life and submission are issues has to do with our fallen nature. So part of the process of marriage, I think, is getting us to understand just how those things work. Mm-hmm. I think jumping ahead here, among all the tools that can be brought up in counseling and taught, forgiveness is probably one of the most fundamental. And the thing about forgiveness is, when I emphasize forgiveness, is it's the giving. To understand forgiveness, you write the word forgive and then you scribble out F-O-R, and you just are left with the word give. Forgiving is simply giving of myself to the relationship. And for some reason, it's very hard for us to be humble and to give ourselves to someone when there's been an offense. And yet this is something, forgiveness is one thing that we work very hard on. But just to cap off the process, having to do with the purpose of marriage has to do with our our role in the body of Christ, and our marriage belongs to the body of Christ. The process is the working out of that salvation, so to speak, knocking off the rough edges, whether it's communication, forgiveness, trust, any of those things. So that's typically what happens in marriage counseling.
Purpose and process of marriage, so important. And Daniel does a lot of marriage counseling in his practice. If people have been listening today and they know they need some help, how did they get in touch with you?
Yeah, the phone number is 425-778-6169. 425-778-6169. People also email me through website BibleBasedCounselor.com, where you're going to find these radio shows in the podcast link. And also offices Kirkland and Edmonds, also doing Zoom for people that have to drive a long ways with these gas prices right. And such. So,
okay, always great stuff. Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.